Begin the current daf Masechtas Kedushin daf Mem Beis. Begin on the bottom of daf Mem Alef Mem Beis. Four lines up from the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we open up this parak discussing the halacha of a ish mekadesh bo'i b'shlucha, a ish miskadeshes bo'i b'shlucha. That there's a halacha that applies for Kedushin, that the husband and the kala, the chasna kala, they have to play their roles. He gives her the ring, she accepts it. We said that not only could they do it, but their agents could do that too. So the Gemara says, Shlichas Menalan, where do we know that there is a halachic principle of something that you have to do, that you could hire someone else, send a shliach, an agent, to do that? So regarding the halachas of Gerushin, the Gemara brought a pasuk. It says, V'shilach, V'shilcha, which we learn out that it could have said, V'girish, it says a term of shlichas, that you could have an agent. Kedushin, we learn out from Gerushin, because we learn about Yatzav Ahai, so that's a hekesh comparing divorce to getting married. That's how we know the source of the halacha of our Mishnah. Then the Gemara referred to other halachas that we also can see from different Mishnais that they have the halach of shlichas. Where do we know that from? So regarding kadshim, we know from the pasuk that it says v'shachatu oisei kol kahal adas yisol ben arbaim. It's saying as if the whole entire Jewish people are shechting, but they're not all slaughtering. It's only one person that's slaughtering the carbon for them. So on that we learn now that it's as if they all did it themselves, that there is a halach of agency by kadshim too. And where do we know the halacha of truma? As we brought in Mishnah Masechtas Truma, is that there's obviously agency there too. So either we know it from a tzad hashava, from a common denominator, from the corollary of the halachas of gerushin and from the halachas of kadoshim, or according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, as we mentioned on the bottom of Memal of Mbeis, he actually knows it from the words of gam atim, where the word gam comes to mimarbe, the halacha of shlichas by truma. So that's how we know the source for all those halachas, which mentions that the Gemara quoted of shlichas, that what's the source for them. And that's where the Gemara continues. It says, Ha nicha, that this is very well everything that we set up until now. Rabbi Shimon Karcha, as we quoted him before, that he learns out that where do we know the halachas of shlichas by kadshim, which we know that regarding the carbon pesach, as we brought a Mishnah Pesach Pesachim, that there is shlichas. He learns out from the pasuk that we just quoted, Feshacha to Isa kol kala das yisol ben arbaim, which teaches you shlichas sholim kam Isa, because really only one person is slaughtering. Yet it's saying in the pasuk as if all the Jewish people are slaughtering. How so? Through the medium of agency, it's like all of them are doing it because he's their shliach. But as the Gemara, Eli Bioinasin the Mabik Leila Haikra Ledrasha Charina, but according to Bioinasin, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote, he uses that pasuk to teach a different drasha, a different exposition, Samanolon. So then you back to the question, how do you know that there's halach of shlichas by kadoshim? As we said, you cannot know that from Mitzad HaShava, from Truma, and from Gerushim, because they're choyl etzel kadoshim. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, you back to the question, how do you know the source for halach of shlichas by kadoshim? The time like learn the Braisa. Rabbi Yonasan, he says, Minayin, from where do we know, Shekul Yisrael Kulan, that the entire Jewish people, Yetzim could fulfill their obligation, as we continue on top of Mem Beis and Alef, but Pesach Echad, with one carbon Pesach, all the Jewish people could fulfill their obligation, even though the inherent chiddush of Rabbi Yonasan is that not every single person is going to be able to get a kezias of meat to eat in the carbon Pesach, because his opinion is that the consumption of the meat of the carbon Pesach is not me'akib, that does not withhold the validity of fulfilling your obligation, it's the throwing of the blood. So therefore, throwing the blood can fulfill for everybody. They could all be one big group on one animal as a carbon. How do you know that? He says, Shenem, like it says in the pasuk, V'shachatu oisoi kol kaladas yisrael ben arbaim, that they will slaughter it, singular, all the Jewish people between in the afternoon of the 14th. Now, the question is, V'chikol hakal kulim shaykhtim, what does that mean? How do you even read the pasuk? Do you think the whole entire Jewish people are slaughtering? It's one carbon. There's only one person slaughtering. So what does it mean that this animal, Isai, all the Jewish people are slaughtering? Ella rather says, Rabbi Yonasan, Mikan, from here you see, Shekol Yisrael Yitzim, Pesach Echad, the entire Jewish people could fulfill their obligation of Karban Pesach with one animal. And that you see because it's saying, Shachtu Isai, and it's Kol Kaladas Yisrael. So the question then is, Shleach B'Kadoshim Anoli, so where does he know now the source of that your shlichus by kadoshim, if he's using this pasuk to tell you something else, not regarding the halacha of shlichus, as we mentioned in the previous daf from Reb Shimon Karcha, rather telling you a different halacha that not everybody has to get a piece of meat to eat, even though initially you're really supposed to have a kezias with the carbon pesach, but to fulfill your obligation of the carbon being brought, is as long as there's going to be zrikas dam, the blood's going to be thrown in the mizbeach, and everyone can have a part in that, and therefore that's what the pasuk is coming to teach. So how do you know shlichus? So the Gemara says minei from that pasuk itself. Where you're right, as Rabbi Yonasan is saying, it's coming to teach you that they could overfill their obligation with one carbon Pesach, but there is one person slaughtering it for all of them.
because if they're all fulfilling the obligation with one Karban Pesach, not every single Jew in the Jewish people is slaughtering it, and how is he fulfilling his obligation as having the Shechita on his Karban Pesach? It must be through that one person who is ultimately shechting it, who's slaughtering it. Not only do we see his halacha that everyone can fulfill with one carbon, but that one person could do it for everybody else, which is the halacha of shlichus. Now, however, according to Rabbi Yonasan, although yes, you could see Rabbi Shimon ben Karach's halacha from this pasuk too, but v'dimashani hasa. But now you have a question: is that maybe there it's different? The isle shutves begavai. Because that one person, since you're saying it's kol kahal, the whole Jewish people are fulfilling the obligation with this one carbon, including the one who's shechting it, maybe that's why an Asian could do it for all of the rest, because he's part of them. But maybe a regular shlech, who's unrelated to the fulfillment of this obligation, maybe he cannot be your shlech and shecht it. How would you know a source that any person could be a shlech for Kaddishim, maybe only over there, because he was a partner with them in that carbon, maybe that's why he could be a shlech. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Mahacha. According to Bianasin, the source is from a different pasuk. In Shemais, it says, V'yikhu lehem, they should take for them, ish, a man, se, a sheep, a lamb, labeis avos, for his ancestral house, for meaning for the family, a se, labayis, a lamb, for the household. Now, what you see for that pasuk is that it's one person that's saying, ish, he takes the se, labeis avos, for the bayis, he takes it for the whole family. So you see that one person's action could be a shlichus for the rest of the people as for the halachas of Kaddishim. Now the Gemara asked the same question. Maybe yes, there the reason why a shlich could work to create the kinyanim, the halachas for Kaddishim for the rest, is because he's part of the family. So he's a partnership in that Karban Pesach. Maybe that's what could be a shlich. But maybe an outsider cannot be a shlich. Now, then the Gemara says, Im Kain, if that's the case, that this pasuk was also only talking about because he's a shutev, he's a partner, he's also in getting in this Karban Pesach, then trei koray lamali. Why do we need two psukim? We have the pasuk of Beshachato Oisek Kalkal Das Bnei Yisrael Bnei Abayim, which we said, obviously, one guy's doing it for the rest. So he said, oh, okay, maybe because he's a shutev. Then we have another pasuk, that in Shemais, that we're saying Ish Sela Beis Abbas, where one guy's doing it for the rest. So he said, okay, maybe because he's a shutev. But why do I need two psukim to say that a shliach could work when he's a partner in that? So therefore, it rather says the Gemara, if one of these two psukim is not regarding to where it is applicable for the context, meaning regarding shutfis, because you have another pasuk already saying the concept, so therefore you will apply it, which is one of the ways of learning up a pasuk, that if you don't need it for the context, you learn it out from something else related to that, which is even when he's not a shutif. And that's the source, according to Bianasin, that there is going to be halacha of shlichas, even an unrelated person, for the halachas of Kaddishim. Now, but the Gemara asks on this too. Haimin boi leilik Rabbi Yitzchak, but you need this pasuk for Rabbi Yitzchak. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, what you learn out from the second pasuk, when it says ish se lebeis avos, it's that tells you ish zeicha. It's that a man can merit it. In other words, truthfully, the Gemara is asking is that could be both psukim are talking about that one person could do for the rest only because he's a shutav, he's a partner in them. Now, the question you had asked was, well, if it doesn't have, it's what's called im'ein inyan, if we don't need it to teach us that, because we already know from the other pasuk that it works for him to be a shliach when when he's a shutav. So that is what the Gemara is saying, that no, it actually, there is something to learn out, even though he's a shutav, to say that he's a shliach, because we need it to actually teach you to exclude someone else from being the shliach, which tells you only ish zeicha, a man, an adult, he could merit when he's purchasing the Karban Pesach for the whole family. However, a minor cannot be merited for everybody else because he doesn't have the acquisitional strength to acquire for the other people to acquire it for his purchases that he's doing. So therefore, that's what the pasuk is coming to teach you, and the Gemara is basically back to the question then. So the first pasuk is teaching you that he could be a shliach, but maybe because he's a shutif. The second one also is not necessarily going to tell you now, even when he's not a shutif, because, yeah, it's teaching even when he's a shutif. Why do I need this pasuk then? Not to tell you that he could be a shliach, because that I know from the first pasuk, but to tell you that this shliach who could purchase the Karban Pesach, lebeis avos, has to be an ish and not a katan. Now, that the Gemara says, hahu mi ish lefi achle nafka. No, that halacha, that it has to be a man, not a minor, says the Gemara, that I don't need the second pasuk for that. Second pasuk is like Rabbi Yonasan will learn from there that shlichas works by kaddishim. Now, although you're saying that no, you need it, it's not necessarily im einu inyan, because it could be talking about when he's a shutif with them, then why do you have to repeat it? Because to say Ishbali Katan, says the Gemara, no, Ishbali Katan, you know from a different pasuk, when it says Ishlevi Achlai, when it says every man according to how much he eats, you see it's referring to a man and not to a katan. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on that. It says, Vakati mi baile, but it's not true. You need that last pasuk you just quoted of Ishlevi Achlai to Chaisu, that every man according to what he eats, you'll slaughter, you'll count him, that, because that teaches you a different halacha. The Sheikh said, Nesa Pesach ala Yachid, that you could slaughter Karban Pesach for an individual. And therefore, we really don't have any extra sources. And we're back to the question for Rabbi Yonason, where do you see Shlichus when he's not Shaykh, when he's not part of it, when he's not a Shotev? You don't have any extra sources. Because as we said, the first Pasuk will tell you, from Meshachat to Isaac Kol Kala Das Yisrael will tell you when he's a Shotev. Second one will also tell you when he's a Shotev, why is repeating it? To tell you that Ish Veloi Katan. Now, although you have another Pasuk of Ish Lefi Achloi, that's not telling you Ish Lefi. That's not telling Ish B'lei Katan. That's teaching you a different halacha. That's saying that even an Ish, which is a singular term, Elfi Achlai, that you could slaughter the carbon for him, which it says Tuchaisu, which tells you that you could slaughter Karban Pesach for an individual. It doesn't have to be more than one person. So that the Gemara answers, no. Sava La, Rabbi Yonason holds Kemanda Amma, like the one who says, Ein Sheichet Nesa Pesach Al Yachad, that you cannot slaughter Karban Pesach for an individual, which that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda. That's brought him Sechta Pesachim, that he learns out from the Pasuk where it says, Leisucha Lizbeich as a Pesach, you're not allowed to slaughter your Karban Pesach. Now, the way it really, the simple translation of the Pasuk is, Ba'achat Sharecha. You cannot slaughter Karban Pesach in one of your cities. It has to be in the appropriate place. Now, but he learns it as if the word Ba'achat was part of the first half of the Pasuk, Leisucha Lizbeich as a Pesach Ba'achat. You cannot slaughter Karban Pesach for a Yachat, for an individual. And therefore, since Rabbi Yonason holds like Rabbi Huda, so therefore, Ishlefi Achloi Tuchaisu is not coming to teach you that you could check the Karban Pesach for a Yachad, because he actually holds that you cannot check one for a Yachad. So what does that Pasuk come to tell you? Come to tell you Ishlefi Katan. If that's already teaching you Ishlefi Katan, so then the previous Pasuk that we said of Ishlebeis Avis is not telling you Ishlefi Katan. So what is it coming to say? It can't come to tell you Shlichus when there's a Shutif that I already know from the first Pasuk of Ashachta Isaac Al Kaladas Yisrael. So then it must be teaching you this extended halach of Shlichus, not only where he's Shayach, where he's a partner, even if he's unrelated to this Karban Pesach, he could still be the Shliach for the Kaddishim, to Shechta, to slaughter it for the rest. That's the source according to Rabbi Yonason for this halacha of Shlichus by Kaddishim, where again he couldn't know it from this other, from the Pasuk of Ashachta Isaac, because that's coming to teach you something else. And even though you could learn it from there, but then maybe it's only because he's a partner, because that's what the Pasuk is coming to say according to him, that every Jewish person will be in on this one carbon, and maybe that's why he could be a shliach, because he's a shotev. That's why we learn it out from the second Pasuk of Ish, Seh, Lebeis, Avis, that even if he's unrelated, he can still be a shliach. Now, however, the Gemara asks now that we concluded the sources for these halachas of shlichas, the Gemara asks, but ve'elahadam Rav Gidl Amarav, but this is Rav Gidl's name of Rav. Minayin sheshluchei shalom kemoisa. He said, how do you know that a person's agent is like the person himself? It's like an extension. You designated him, he's in your place. Shneim, like it says the Pasuk of Bemidbar. The Pasuk there says in Perek Lamedal, Pasuk Yudches, it says, v'nasi echad, nasi echad mimata, that every tribe will have one prince, one person in charge, which the Pasuk there says, Tikhu Lincholes Arts, that they will take for their tribe to split it up, the inheritance, to decide who gets what. So, says Rav, that from this Pasuk you see that Shlucha Shalom Kemaisa, a person's agent is like himself, where the people themselves weren't splitting up their lands. They designated their Nasi, who split up for them, and it's like they themselves did it. So you see Shlucha Shalom Kemaisa. So ask the Gemara, typically Shlichas Ma'acha. Why don't you learn it out from all our sources that we had on the previous daf, which we were concluding that discussion over here, regarding we have Truma, we have Gerushin, we have Kedushin, we have a Kaddishim. Why does he go ahead and bring a different source from this Pasuk of a Nasi Echad, Nasi Echad Mimata? So I think Gemara says, B'tizbra da Shlichesu? What do you mean? Do you really think that this Pasuk that Rav is quoting is regards to agency? But Vokatanim Lav B'nei Shlichis Nenu, minors are not people that could make Shluchim. In other words, minors, there were minors that were from those who were inheriting and splitting the land when Yeshua came to Eretz Yisrael, when they split up Eretz Yisrael. Now, how could those who are the Nasiim, who merited for them, have been working through the medium of a shliach? But a katan cannot make a shliach. Because, as we learned in the previous daf, that v'shilach v'shilcha are the sources for where we know the primary halachas of shlichas. And there in Devarim Chavdal, it says the word ish, which tells you, ki yikach ish, when a man takes, which from there we learn out in Bab Metziah and Alpha Mabez, that a minor who is not an ish cannot make a shliach. So how can you even say that what Rav was teaching was the primary halach of shlichus, which you're asking if it's the primary halach of shlichus, learn that from all those other things, or learn those other things from here? And I was saying, no, this pasuk is not even talking about shlichus, because minors were from those who split it up, who got the portions in Eretz Yisrael, and the Nesim cannot have been their shluchim, because a katan cannot make a shliach. Ella rather says the Gemara, that pasuk is not coming to tell you the halachas of shlichus. Rather, it's coming to tell you a halacha of what's called zochan ad mishlei b'fanav, that you can merit for a person even when he's not present. Now, the reason being is because even though the minors, they were there, but they're considered as if it's shalei b'fanav, as if they're not present, because they don't have das. Not having das is like you're not there. Now, since the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael was a merit, whatever you're going to get in Eretz Yisrael, a portion of land, is a schus, so therefore that's how they were able to split it up. And that's what Rav Gidla Merav is coming to say for this halacha of shlich shalom kamaisai regards to someone being mezake for other people. As the Gemara says, ki hada Rava bar Rav Huna. The Amar Rava bar Rav Huna Amar Rav Gidla Amar Rav, which you see, this is Rav Gidla Amar Rav, that minayin shezochel ad mishlei b'fanav. Here it's not just telling you the generic halacha of shlichus, because here it's not working through shlichus. It's a different form of that, which is the halacha of schiyah, of meriting for someone else, even if they're not present. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, v'nasi echad, nasi echad. Which, quoting that same pasuk, where we see that the Nesim did it for all the entire tribe, that's the halacha that's coming to teach over here. So although the words that were quoted was minayin shlusha shluchim from kemaisai, doesn't mean the generic halacha of shlichus. It means to say someone doing something for someone else. How do we know that works? But again, not the halacha of shlichus, but specifically the halacha of ischia, of meriting for someone else, because the Nesim were meriting for the whole tribe, which could work even for a katan, because it doesn't have to be befanav. That's because the schus you could do even when the person's not present, because the person obviously would prefer that. How do we know that? It's learned from the pasuk, b'nasi echad, nasi echad, where the Nesim were able to do it, even for the minors in their shevet. Now, however, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, but Tisber, is that really so? You tell me, is schusi, that it was a merit, and that's what you learned from the pasuk zochel adam shleim b'fanav, because the Nesim were able to do it even for the minors. No, there's liabilities that come along with this, because the ikka denichale bahar, there are people that prefer living and getting a plantation on a mountain. V'leinichale bebika, doesn't want to get in a valley. Yet v'ikka denichale bebika, and then yet on the other hand, there are people that prefer a valley. V'leinichale bahar, and doesn't want a mountain. So if the Nesim, if the heads of the tribes get to decide who gets what, it's not all schus. There is liability too, because I wouldn't have wanted that portion. So how can you say that you learned that from this pasuk, the halach of zochel adam shleim b'fanav, if it's not totally a schus for the ketanim? So Ve'ela rather says the Gemara, k'derava barav huna. Rather, it's coming to teach actually a different halacha. That it's not just coming to teach us that when you have a schus, shleim b'fanav, a merit when the person is not present, that's something you could learn out regarding the adults. For the adults, it's something that they were present, and therefore, you could understand that there's a halacha of giving this, even if they're not there in the proceedings, to learn that this halacha, there's actually another halacha, which is what the Gemara is trying to illustrate from this pasuk, regarding a minor, even if it ends up being a liability, because he's not there and doesn't have a say in the matter, doesn't have das, if it came because of the attempt of merit, the courts are allowed to do that. Just like here in this pasuk that you see where the intention of the Nasi was to merit their whole tribe to having their portion in Eretz Yisrael, even though sometimes splitting it up could be a liability. Because you're right, as the Gemara said, that there could be people that would prefer not to have this portion and have another one, and even so, they weren't able to retract. It was final what the Nesim had done. As the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Barav Hun, Amar Rav Gidlo Amar Rav. The same type of halacha. Menayin li yisaimim, from where do we know regarding orphans? Shabo lachlik bin nechzavin, they're coming to split the estate of their father. The father died when they were very young, they're still orphans. Where do we know, says Rav, shabez de mamidlan apotropis, that the courts appoint for each one, someone, a caretaker, to represent him, l'chayv ulezakis, whether for liability or for merit. Now the question is, l'chayv amai? Why would we appoint an apotropos for liability? In other words, if it was obvious that he's coming to create liability for the yasim, why would we appoint an apotropos to create liabilities for the orphan? Ella, rather, like we said before, what is being learned over here is lochiv amanas lazakas. How do we know that we would appoint an apotropos, a representative for the orphan to stand up and try to defend his rights, to make a schus for him and for his pleasure. But if it does create a liability, if he does end up getting a loss in court in the case, that what is done is done, that even a chayiv, if the intention was amanas lazakis, will still stand. Tamalema, that's what we learn from the pasuk. But nasi echad, nasi echad mimaka, mimata tikhu. That every single tribe had his nasi who went to stand and split up the land for their tribe. Now, here, that's something that could be, that the intention was for schus. But it could be some liability, as we said before, because it could be he says, I don't prefer that mountain. I want the valley. And he says, no, I don't want the valley. He says, I want the mountain. But still, we learn from the pasuk that even though there could be that liability, still, again, going back to what the Gemara had said, Rav Gidla Marav was not teaching the primary halacha of shlichus. That we know from other sources, as we learned in the previous daf. Here, when it said that, where do we know shlich shalom kemaisai, it means to say, not just a schus, la'adm shalom b'fanav, because that wouldn't be the case regarding the minors, because for them, that they don't have any say in the matter, for them it could be a liability. Rather, what we're learning out from this halacha is, from this pasuk of nasi echad mimate, that when it's being done for the purpose of schus, the courts have a right for, let's say, by minors, people that don't have the das, people are not present, that we could try to defend them and get them what they need, but even though it might be some liability, that it will stand. How do you know that halacha from? That's learned out from this pasuk of what Nassim did when they split up Eretz Yisrael amongst the people in their tribes, even for the minors, even though there's the possibility that there could be some liability with that. Now the Gemara continues on the same theme. Amar Nachman Amar Shmuel says, Yisaimim shebo lachlik b'nichse avim. When orphans are coming to split up their father's estate, so bezdim amidlim abetrabas, as we said before, so the courts appoint for them caretakers, each one gets a representative, ubari lehem chelik yafa, and each abetrabas picks out what he would feel is the best for his yasim, and so to each abetrabas tries to represent the best interest for his yasim. Now, but the imigdilu says, Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, but when they get older, when they become adults, yichayim limchis, they could protest. They could say that, I don't like what I got, and let's do this over again. Now, but Rav Nachman, the Deyam, Rav Nachman, although he said that over in the name of Shmuel, he himself holds that imigdilu, if they become adults, einim yichayim limchis, they can't protest. What the apotropos had done for him is a done deal. And he explains the logic. The imkain, because if they could protest, ma'koich bezen yofen, then where do we see the strength, the support of the courts? Meaning, and again, as we said before, that's what Rav Gidla Amar Rav was saying, this halacha, we actually know this from the pasuk of a nasi echad, that the nasi can do that, even though it could create some liability, that we see that we give this strength to the courts, that they can appoint people to help out the yisaimim. But if it could just be overturned by your yasim when he gets older, so what do they gain? We have to give some power to the courts. That is therefore final. Even if he becomes old, he says, I don't like it, it's too late. It's a done deal. So that's Rav Nachman's opinion, in contrast to Rav Nachman, the name of Shmuel, who said no, that he could have it turned over. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Umiyasli Rav Nachman, does Rav Nachman really hold up this svara that he says, Im kein ma'koich bezen yafa, that if that would be the case, that someone could just turn over this halacha of the courts, that they made an apotropos for him, then what would be the value of the courts and what they execute, that he really holds of such a logic? But what's now, we'll learn the Mishnah Masechet Ksuba as follows. The Mishnah there says, regarding Shum HaDayonim, which is when the courts evaluate, let's say, where there's a borrower has an estate, and he owes money to a lender. Now, the borrower is not here, either because he went away somewhere or he escaped. Now, since he didn't listen to the courts to pay up what he owes, so the court goes to his estate, and they evaluate, okay, you know, the lender comes and says, look, he owes me, and he just ran away, and we had this proceedings, and the court verdict was he owes me. So they go down to his estate, and they say, okay, how much does he owe you? $1,000. They evaluate his land, and what was worth $1,000, they give to the lender. Now, but says the Mishnah, let's say, shepichas ushtos. Let's say they undervalue it by a sixth, or they overvalue it by a sixth. Says the Tanakhama, machrim batal. So their sale is void, like any time there's what's called a mekach tois. When you over or undervalue an item that's being sold by a sixth, so then that will create a void. That's halacha of oina. The sale is going to be void. So the same thing is by the courts. When they sold this guy's property in hiatus, when the guy wasn't here, where for this lender it was off the mark. It was mekach tois, mekach batal, and therefore it's going to be void. That says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. He says, no mechrun kayim, the sale of the courts is valid. Now, V'amr Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, because imkein, makorich bezen yafa. He says, because if you're going to hold the courts to this narrow interpretation of the six, then where do you find the power that we have to invest in the authority of the courts? They have to be able to have this legislative flexibility, where even if it's more or less than a six, their sale is valid. And therefore, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's valid even more or less than a six. Now, V'amr Rav Huna Bar Chinna Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Halacha kedir b'chachamim. He says, Halacha is like the chachamim, that the mekech is batal. So you see, he doesn't hold up this svara of imke makarech bezin yafa. So how over here in this machlik is Rosh Shmuel, does he say that this yasim can't complain when it becomes a gadol, because makarech bezin yafa, but we see over there he doesn't hold like that svara, because then he would have said that Halacha is like a b'shimim gamliel. Now the Gemara says, loy kasha, it's not a difficulty. As the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, ha, in the Mishnah Masechta Subis that Rav Nachman said the halacha is like the chachamim, where he doesn't say makarech bezin yafa, is because the toh. Because the courts made an error. They made a mistake. Either because they overestimated more than a sixth or underestimated less than a sixth. So an error is an error. We can't say makarech bezin yafa. They made a mistake. So therefore it's a mekach batal. It's not a valid. It's void. Now, ha, but here where he's arguing with Shmuel and he says that you have to give karech bezin yafa, as we said that the yasim can't renege on what his apotropos had done for him as a minor, is the loito, because there was no mistake that they did. He picked out the best thing for this orphan. So if there was no mistake, then of course we have to uphold the strength of the courts. And therefore, since nothing wrong was done, there was no error, that's why it's going to be, we're going to stand that up according to Rav Nachman. But that you can't compare to the halacha of the Mishnah Masechta Subis, where they made a mistake. There he holds like the Chacham. There we don't say Makarech Bezen Yafa. Now the Gemara asks on this, Idlei To, if the case of the apotropos that he disagrees with Shmuel, and that's why we uphold what they had done, what the courts had appointed in Abitrapas, is they didn't make a mistake. Well, then, Mayichayim Limchis, and how do we even understand the dispute between Rav Nachman and Shmuel? What does it mean that, let's say, according to Shmuel, that they could protest? What are they protesting? He didn't make any mistake. He got him the best field. So if he got him the best field, so then what would be the machlekes that he has with Shmuel? Why would Shmuel say that even that they could protest? So I think Gemara says, Yichayim Limchis Beruchis. He could protest. There could be a complaint that he has regarding the direction, meaning geographically, meaning if, let's say, he ended up getting inheriting a portion in the south. And he says, no, I would have preferred in the north because there I had a field nearby from my mother's side, which is the field right near, and it would have been much easier for me to manage two fields near each other. That's not an error, per se, in the best field. His apotropos got him the best field. Now, for some sidebar calculation, which is which direction it is for some other reason, that would he would be preferable to have him somewhere else. That's something that Shmuel holds that he could be Maicha. But that's what Rav Nachman say. No, since he didn't make any intrinsic error, they will say, Ma'akoyach Bezen Yaf, we have to uphold the supports of the court. And again, but that's not a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechta Ketubot that he holds like the Chacham, because they made an error, then we don't say, Ma'akoyach Bezen Yaf. Related discussion between brothers splitting up inheritance, also from Omer of Nachman, he says, Achen Shacholku, regarding brothers that split up an inheritance, Harehin Kilakuches. So he says that the halachas of the brothers are just like consumers, like people that buy land one from each other. So just like the halachas of Lakuches that we're going to quote, which is brought in Masechta Bamitzvot Daf Mem Tesma Beis, the same thing will apply to the brothers. So for example, let's say Paches Mishtos, just like regarding a sale, if let's say it was less than a sixth of a discrepancy of the real market value, so nikne mekech, so that's going to be a valid purchase, because no one's exactly how much it is, but if it's within a sixth, then it's valid. So too, the halacha will apply when the brothers are splitting up the lands. If one brother was lost a little bit from the value of what he was supposed to get, it was still within a sixth, then it's going to be valid. Yes, rashtos, if it's more than a sixth, well then batal mekech. Then, just like by a sale it would be void, so too by the brothers, if it was overvalued by a sixth, so it's going to be void. Now, let's say it was shtos, let's say it was exactly a sixth. Well, then it is like by a sale, where kanu umachzoyna, then it's a valid acquisition, but then the overpricing has to be given back to the consumer. That's what Rav Nachman says. Same halachas that apply to a kinyan applies the same way to the brothers splitting up their father's inheritance. Now, on that Amar Rava, Rava qualifies actually all three halachas that Rav Nachman said. He says, Hodamar, and this that was said, Pachas Mishtus Nikne Mekech, that less than a sixth, it's going to be a valid sale, because it wasn't, let's say the price is 100, it can't be more than a sixth of that as an increase on that price tag. So says Rava, Lo Yimarin El Dele Shavi Shliach. This that you said, but however, within the sixth, it will be a valid sale. That's only if the person who was purchasing didn't appoint an agent. Of a Shavi Shliach, but if he made an agent, Amr, then he could say, Leskuni Shadartech V'loy Lavasi, I appointed you to be my Shliach to make things work out for me, not to make things not work out for me. And then actually, it's not going to be a Mekach that he's going to have to sit with, because he could tell the Shliach, look, that's not what I made you for. I didn't make you, although he himself, if he would do it within the sixth, it would be valid. But since he made a shliach, then it's not something that he has to sit with. Moreover, says Rava, the next halacha, v'hadamar in yesh mishtos batal mekach, this that was said, that more than the sixth, then the mekach is going to be batal. In other words, then whatever was split up is going to be void, is going to be undone. Says Rava, lo'yamarin el lo'yamar, this is only if it wasn't said in the beginning that they didn't make up the conditions, that they didn't say nifalginan bishuma de beidina, that let's split it the way it's evaluated when you have three people who are a court, the way they evaluate it. Aval ama niflik bishuma de beidina, but if they had made it beforehand, let's split it the way the courts evaluate it, then they have already accepted upon themselves to split up this land the way what's called shum hadayon, and the way the courts evaluate something. That would be even if it was overvalued more than a sixth. And therefore, the halacha is going to be mechron kayim. Then the sale is going to be valid. The reason being is because Rava holds like Rav Shmuel Gamliel that we quoted before, that holds mechron kayim as it's brought in Masechet Ksubos, which we quoted on Amud Aleph. Which obviously, as Rashi points out, that although Rava here is qualifying and explaining the halacha of Rav Nachman, that obviously he disputes Rav Nachman that we quoted on Amud Aleph, who said the halacha in the Mishnah Masechet Ksubos is like the Chachamim, not like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, where it's only within the sixth, even by Shumas Bezdin. Rava obviously disputes that and disagrees, and therefore he's saying, where he says the halacha is like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, where even if it's more than the sixth, if they made it before and they let's split up our father's inheritance the way the courts are going to evaluate it, that will allow an error even more than the sixth. It's not like we learned in Mishnah Masechet Ksubos, and that's what the continuation is from Amud Aleph, that says, Shum HaDayonim Shepichsu Shtus O Hetiru Shtus. So let's say the evaluation of the courts or the judges was less than a sixth or more than a sixth. The halacha is mechron batal. Tanakama says the sale is void. Shmuel Gamliel, he says mechron kayim. He says the sale is going to be valid even though it's more than a sixth. Again, because the courts have that makoyich bezin yafa, and that's how Rava paskins, not like Rav Nachman. Now, finally, the third and final halacha that Rav Nachman had said, v'hadamar, this that was said, shtus kana u'machzer oino, if it was a sixth, not less and not more, where then it's going to be valid, but then the overpricing has to be given back to the purchaser. This qualifies Rava, lo yamarin ela b'matatli. That was only said by movable items, where the halacha of inah of this for prohibition of overcharging on the price value is written by matatlin, as the pasuk says, oikonu miyad mesecha, or if you purchase from the hand of your friend, al tainu, do not afflict him, don't overcharge him. That's something what's called davah hanikna miyad liyad. It's something that can be purchased from hand to hand. It's saying miyad misecha. That's referring to metal and to movable items. But there is no source and there is no halacha vayna for land where even there, if it's charged over a sixth, the halacha will be, meaning this halacha of a sixth will be even by, will not apply to karka. The halacha is that the vayna is not given back to the consumer. Now, moreover, says Rava, but umekarkoi lo yamarin, but this that we said that regarding land, that there is no halacha v'ina, that was only said el de polug bi'iluya. Only if the way they split it was not by using a rope of measuring, that each one takes the same amount of land by the bad lands and the good lands. Rather, they evaluated it in monetary, in dollar and dollar and pennies. In other words, that we're talking about how much the value is of the bad land. You'll take, let's say it's $100, you take 50, I take 50, and then so too by the good lands, they split up according to the monetary value, not according to size. That's where we say there's no einor bekarkois. Aval polig b'mishchas aloy, but says Rava, but if they split up according to measurements, they're taking a rope and they split it up accordingly, then the halacha would be that there would be einor. Now, the reason is, like Rabbi said, anything that's measured, that's weighed, or that's counted, even if it's less than the regular sixth of what's considered overcharging, it also is void, it also goes back, it's also undone. Now, the reason for that is because it's not similar to other ainas. In other words, because Allah is, as brought in Masech Debam Metzim, Mtesim, and Beis, usually the reason why less than the sixth it's going to be a valid sale is because people are Meichel, they're foregoing, they're forgiving on that because, okay, you can't charge exactly the market value, so within the range of a sixth, they're okay with it. But an error in measurement, well, that's an error. That's not something that should be for overlooked because money, okay, money goes up, money goes down. What's the value? That's relative. Now, based on, but you told me you're going to give me 12 pounds. You told me you're going to give me this size. That a person is not okay with. And therefore, with something that's numbers, why'd you give me 11? I was supposed to get 12. That's something that it's not even agreeable, even less than the sixth. And therefore, that would be undone. That same logic applies even to karka, even to land, where it's not in damim, it's just in, we were supposed to get 50%, I get 50%. You got 60% of the field and I got 40%. That I'm not okay with, even 55 and 45, and therefore, by karka, says Rava, even there would be a nod, and the whole thing is going to be undone. Now the Gemara goes back to what we had been discussing in the previous stuff, which we discussed in the beginning of this stuff, regarding the halachas of shlichas, which we said that we have sources, which was the halacha of our Mishnah, ha'ish mekadesh bayu b'shlucha, same thing for isha, miskadeshes bayu b'shlucha, that there's a halacha of agency regarding halacha that shlich shalom kamaisa. Person's agent is like himself. Now that the Gemara asked, but v'haditzna. This that we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Kama, that says hashaleach es habe'era. If someone sends a fire, meaning he has a fire, coals, he's sending something. If he sends it biyad chereshay d'vekotin, if he needs to get it from point A to point B, and he sends a deaf mute or a mentally deranged person or a minor, and he tells him, please do me a favor, bring it to that place, and it ends up getting out of control. This minor is not able to take care of the fire and ends up burning up someone's field. Says the Mishnah, Pata Medini Adam, the Mishaleach, the one who sent this minor, is exempt from court fines and of penalties and of payments in this world. But V'chai Bedini Shemaim, in his reckoning with heaven, with Hashem, then he's liable for, because it was his own negligence that he sent it with a Chereshai to be cotton, so he's going to be liable, but not here. Now, says the Mishnah, Shilach Be'at Pekeach, if he sends it in, we're totally sane, adult person, and something ends up happening, pikei chayv. That adult is liable, not the one who sent him. Now the question the Gemara asks, v'amai, but why is that? Neimah shlucha shel adam kamaisa, you should say that the agent of a person is like the person himself. And therefore the one who should be liable is the one who sent him, not the shliach. Because he's not even functioning in the medium of his self. So though he caused the fire, but he's really, on some level, functioning as the mishaleach. So the mishaleach should be chayv, because he's kamaisa, he's like the mishaleach, not like himself. Now the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, there it's different. The ain't shliach, because we cannot consider a person in the medium of the halacha of a shliach, ledvar ver, when it's coming for an aver purpose. In other words, where hezek, causing damage to someone else, is a sin, where we cannot now create a liability for the one who sent him, rather it's like the shliach himself did it, he's not considered as a medium of the mishaleach. Because Damrina, we say, Divri HaRav, Divri Talmud, when there's the words of the rabbi and there's the words of the student, where the analogy of that is Hashem and the Mishaleach, Divri Mishayim, who do you listen to? In other words, although you were acting in the function of a Shliach from the Mishaleach, but we can't consider you a Shliach from him because you're not supposed to be listening to him, you're supposed to be listening to Hashem, and Hashem says, don't make a fire for someone else's things, don't create their liability. And therefore, since it's your Aveira, you should not have listened to him to cause a fire, you should listen to Hashem, to the words of the Rav, and therefore we cannot consider you as a shliach ledvar avera, and that's why over there the pekech himself is going to be chayv and not the mishaleach. Now, however, on this halacha, the Gemara asks about the Tanya, but this that we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtas Me'ilah, the Mishnah there is discussing regarding things of hektish. We have, let's say, someone had by him money of hektish. Now he made a mistake. He thought those monies were money of chulin. Now he gave it to a shliach to purchase a cloak for himself with those monies. He didn't realize that those was hektish monies. Now, however, shliach shloi osa shlichusa, says the Mishnah with the Masechtas Me'ilah, the agent didn't end up doing what the one who sent him to do, meaning he sent him to purchase from a cholok, a type of a cloak. He ended up buying him a talis, says the Mishnah over there. So shliach mal. So the agent has committed me'ila, because whenever you take hekdesh money and you use it for something, to purchase something, you have misappropriated. So there's a liability of me'ila. You have to bring karbanos. You have to pay for it. So now the shliach was mal and not the one who sent him. Now, because in this area, he didn't send him to be a shliach. He wasn't a shliach to buy the talis. I told you to buy a chalak. You bought a talis. You weren't my shliach, so you're liable. Now, however, asa shlichusai, however, says the Mishnah, but if he did his agency, if he told him to buy a chalak and he bought a chalak, bala bayis mal. So the one who sent him, he has committed me'ila and he has to bring the carbon me'ila. Ask the Gemara, why? Ki asa shlichusai, the bal habayis, so what we see from that Mishnah is that when he does the agency of the homeowner, bala bayis mi'amal. The homeowner has committed me'ila. Am I? Why? We should say that you cannot be an agent for an avera purpose, and misappropriating hektish is a sin. So why are we saying that the mishaleach, the one who sent him, is going to be liable for the karma ila when it's a classical case of ein shlich l'dvar avera? So the Gemara says you're right, but shana meila. Meila is different; it's an exception to the rule. The yalfa chet chet mitruma, where we learn that gzeir shav of the word sin, where it says by meila, where it says v'chata b'shkaga mikatshe Hashem, that it says by me'ila. So therefore, we learn that Gzeir Shava from Truma, where it also says by someone that eats by mistake, Truma, the Pasuk says v'yila yisu lav chet, it says the word chet there also. So as the Gemara learns, is actually Mesachtes me'ila yutches me'beis, for most of the halachas of me'ila we learn out from Truma, from this Gzeir Shava. So do we learn, ma Truma mashri shliach, just like by Truma, as we learned in the previous daf, either from a tzara shava, or we learn from atim gam atim, that to separate truma, you can make a shliach, af me'ila, mashbe shliach. So also to misappropriate, since we learn a gzera shava, me'ila from truma, there the halach of me'ila would also be that you can make a shliach. So although it should be in shliach v'avera, but the gzera shava is telling us that you could have shliches by me'ila. So the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, v'nelev mina, then why do we learn out every shliches of v'avera from the halachas of me'ila? Where you see that you're able to make a shliach, so although you have a svara, a divir, you have a divir tam, a divir mishamim, but you have a seemingly a source in the pasuk that tells you that although it's a dvar vera, me'ila, you can make a shliach to do that. So but why don't you say that by every dvar vera that you could have a shliach? So I think Mar says, mishum to have a me'ila, b'shlich is yad. The reason being is because you have this halacha of me'ila, and you have the halacha of touching a deposit, utilizing a deposit someone kept by you without permission, that are shnei ksum abom ke'echad. There are two psukim saying the same idea. And when you have two psukim saying the same concept, you cannot learn out to elsewhere, because then you should have said one. Why are you saying both? Obviously, it's coming to tell you that whenever you want to say this concept, whatever it is that it's teaching, which is this halacha, when it's a dvar vera that you could have a shliach, it must be that you would have to say it again in the Torah, and you wouldn't be able to learn out from it. So the Gemara explains, me'ila hadamar. Meaning, where do we find shliches l'dvar vera? So one is, as we said, me'ila, which is Me'ila is a sin to misappropriate hektish. And we have clearly that you can make a shliach, because we don't have chet chet from truma, to do me'ila. So, but the Gemara asks, shlichas yad mahi. What's this halacha that we know that if a person touches a pekadon, where although, let's say he's a shemechinim, there's different types of custodians and guardians, but if he's one that does it for free, he's only liable for a negligence. But if it gets stolen, let's say, he's not going to be liable. But if he touched it, now suddenly he becomes liable in those things. So where do we know that there is going to be halacha of even shlichas, even if you had someone else do it for you, that's going to make you liable for this dvar vera of touching the person's deposit, where again there's a shlichas of dvar vera, and therefore you have shnei ksum abom ke'echad, they're both saying the same thing, and that's why you can't learn it from me'ila. The Tanya, like learned the Braisa, the pasuk in Shemai says, which this is after where it says, im lo yishalach yadai, that if he didn't send his hand, meaning if he didn't touch this guy's deposit, so it says regarding al kol dvar pesha, that regarding any negligence, that's where the halach is going to be, where it talks about on that pasuk, al shara, hamar, al sel, al salma, al kala, veda, shemi, ki, huzeh, meaning that regarding the responsibility that the shomer has towards the one who kept his deposit by him. So, Beshami say, what is this word, al kol dvar pesha? What does it mean for every word of negligence, that's the shemechinim is going to be chayiv because he didn't touch the deposit? I mean, if he touched it, then he's liable for even more. What's al kol dvar pesha coming to include? So Beshamim l'chayiv al machshava. Beshamim said that it comes to teach you that even regarding a thought or some speech, I'll call devar, is going to be kamaisa, is going to be like an action. In other words, if he only said or thought that he wants to touch this guy's deposit, says Beshamim, you learn from the pasuk, that already from that moment it's considered in his domain, from that moment on to be liable for all, even einsin, even things beyond his control, like a shayel, he's going to be liable because up until now, he was a shayel mechinim, he was, only thing he was chayev for was regular pashia, where he's negligent, he leaves the thing out in the open, of course someone steals it, that you were totally negligent. But what we learn that from a kol dvar pesha is even just for a thought that he wants to touch it already makes him liable. That's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, I mean, Beis Hillel say, Ein chayiv ad sheyishlach bo yad. No, he's only liable until he actually touches it. Shenema, because that's what the pasuk says. Im lo yishlach yad v'gomer. If he doesn't touch it, then he's only going to be liable for negligence. But thinking about it, it's not going to make him liable for more than that. Now, Amar Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, but v'haloi nema are called dvar pesha. But it already says on anything of negligence, meaning any speech or any thought that we learn from that, how are you saying it's only by touching it, by moving it, by actually doing it? No, so Amalem Beisil Bishamai, but Beisil respond to Bishamai, but v'haloi nema im leishalach yodim im lech zereyu, but I'm bringing you a different pasuk that says that he's only going to be liable if he touches it. But if he doesn't touch it, we say he's not going to be liable for more than the negligence. So you see, it's about touching it and not just thinking it. Now, Amalem Bishamai Beisil, but Beis Shammai said back to Beis Hillel, okay, I understand you have a pasuk, but im kein, I'll call dvar pesha lamali. So you're proving from that pasuk that it has to be that he actually touched it. But then why do you learn that from the pasuk, I'll call dvar pesha for anything of negligence? Sounds like it's adding something more. Says Beis Hillel, because she yachol, I would have thought that ainly, that I wouldn't know that there would be a liability for touching someone else's things to now make you liable, not just for peshia, for negligence, but even for einsin, things beyond your control. Elohu, only when the Shomer himself takes his own hand and touches and moves around this thing which he's safeguarding, which he has no permission to do. That's going to create the liability. But Amr la'avdu u'lishluchu minayin, how would he know it would apply even if he tells his slave or his agent to move this thing that he's watching with that person? How would he know that even then he would be liable for einsin? Tamaloyma says, Bisil, that's what you learn out from there. I'll call dvar pesha. That it says on anything of negligence, not to say even if you don't touch it, and that even if you think it, like Beis Shammai said, that no, because it says it has to be moving by the hand. But it doesn't have to be his own hand, it could be even someone else's hand, it could be even his Eved or his Shliach's hand. That's where the Gemara says, we learn out this halacha, where the Gemara's question was that, okay, why don't you say Shliach l'dva'avera? Because you see, Me'il is a Shliach l'dva'avera. Said the Gemara, no, because it's Shnei Ksum Abam Ke'echad, you have another source that also tells you you could have a Shlichat Va'avera, specifically touching this deposit which you have no permission to move around, that you see that there is a halacha of Shlichas over there, even though it's a Va'avera, which we see that's going to create a liability for the Shomer to be Chayav Einsin. So that's what the Gemara answers. That's why, although we say there is a halacha of Shlichas, but that's not a difficulty from the Mishnah Baba Kama that says that when you send a fire with a Bekech, that then the Bekech, the Shaliach, is going to be Chayav, not the Mishaleach, although you say Shlich Shlom Kamaisai, but we don't say a Shlichat Va'avera. Now, although we said, but then learn out from Me'ila, which is Shlich Levavera, but you have Me'ila and Pekodin, Shlichas Yad Be'Pekodin, where they're both halachas, that the Pasuk's telling you, you can make Shlich Levavera, when you have two Pesukim teaching the same thing, then you cannot learn out from both of them, and therefore you're not learning from there, and therefore we're back to the Svara, that Diver Rava, Diver Talmud, Diver Mishayman, there is no Shlichas by Dvavera, and that's what the Gemara's continue on the next stuff, but that works regarding Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel, that's where he learns, but according to Beis Shammai, that doesn't use Al Kol Dvar Pesha to teach Halacha of Shlichas, rather it comes to tell you that even if you think it or say it, that now you're going to be liable already just for already entertaining those thoughts. According to him, we are going to know this Halacha, that ain't Shlich V'Avera, why don't you learn from Me'ila, which is only one source in the Torah that tells you Shlich V'Avera, so we should learn from there that actually you could make a Shliach L'Dvar V'Avera.